lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 166, stanzas 1 and 4. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee. And unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry, to thee by all shall prayer be made. 1 and 4 of Psalter 166.
We wish to read out of God's holy and precious word out of the book of Acts from chapter 9, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 9, the first 31 verses. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for, behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and ever-blessed God, and thou who dost give unto us once again to come together with a large part of our congregation within thy house of prayer, and others yet in their homes in this day, wilt thou humble us under thy goodness? For it is from our side so undeserved. And thou knowest what we stand in need of. For thou didst send thy dear and only begotten Son, and that he may merit for his church what they were not able to merit. And when this was finished, then thou didst institute a ministry and didst send forth thy own servants called by thee into that vineyard wherein the harvest was white, the fields were white, and the harvest was ready. And so for 2,000 years already, thy servants have been sent forth, and thy kingdom is being drawn in, so that they will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God, so that the Gentiles and the heathen, those that were not of thy people, thou wouldst make into thy people, and thou wouldst join unto thy people, as so that that church would be one, breaking down the middle wall of partition and joining a Jew and Gentile together, that they may all receive of that Holy Spirit of thee, that they may speak with one tongue, that they may speak with one language, that they may magnify and glorify thee in a realization with a deep impression of their own guilt and unworthiness, so that that church will glorify thee forever and forever. O Lord, that we also now and our children would not be left behind, for we are given so many privileges, not only the food and drink and blessings for this life, but thou dost bestow labor upon us out of thy holy word, with thy holy institutions, so that that word comes to our ears, Lord, then we have no ears to hear from our side unless thou dost open those ears, both for the first time and also by renewal. Oh, that thou may do so also in the days in which we live with our dear children, and that thou wouldst not leave us now, for this world is still in existence, and there are still those who must be brought in. Thus the time, though it be short, is still yet a time of grace. It is still yet a day of salvation that thou dost extend unto us, and thy callings come unto us in every way, with all thy bounties, with all thy goodness. And the callings do come unto us when the sun is shining, to seek thy glorious face. Oh, then with all the judgments and all the pestilences and the diseases and the earthquakes and all the wars and rumors of wars and all the misery that takes place in this world, and then thou dost come with thy callings and thou dost say, return, return. Why would ye die? Then with thy holy word, thou dost come unto a few in this world. Thou dost establish a church where thy word may be proclaimed. Then some may yet hear what is not heard in the book of nature. They may hear what is written in the book of Revelation, of thy holy word by thy Holy Spirit. Men of old writing by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and thy own word, that we may be given an ear to hear that word, for it shall only testify against us. But Lord, thou knowest and that our hearts are so hard, and we hear it from the days of our youth, and we are accustomed to all these blessings and also to all the callings that come unto us, that we are callous, that nothing touches our hearts anymore. Then it belongs to thee, O Lord, to send forth the power of thy most holy Spirit, and to come with that sword of thy word into us and into our dear children. Upon this we are dependent. Man says that our will is free. A man says that we are able to turn again. Man says that we have not fallen into that deep state of spiritual death. But it is evident all around us. Oh Lord, it is evident within us. And that it is death, death, death. Oh, could it please thee, then to give life in the midst of us? Are there not those that are given by times a little place in their own secret chambers, oh Lord, to beg it of thee, who do feel something of that great wretchedness of our own human nature, and by which we are servers of this world, and that we are so incapable of changing ourselves. Oh, that thou mayest remember all those who do feel a little of that distress, and who do cry unto thee in their need. Oh, that thou wouldst look them up, Lord, in the places where they are, and that thou mayest give unto them a little light out of thy holy word of truth, and that thou mayest increase the number of that people that cannot go through this world as they have been born. O Lord, thou knowest what thy work is. O that thou wouldst give by thy Spirit that a man may be stopped on his mad career this day, O in thy holy house of prayer,
and that thy word may become thy word also within the heart of each and every one of us, and that there may be an arresting, and that there may be a stopping, and that there may be given ears to hear and a heart to understand, and that there may be given a bowing, a smiting upon our breast, and a crying out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, must it not come here, Lord? And can we give this to us and unto our children? Remember thy own people. Oh, thou knowest the places where that they are. For thou hast brought them out of the land of Egypt. And thou didst bring them through a waste howling wilderness. And it is true. And thou didst feed them every day. So that there was nothing lacking to that people. And yet thou knowest all the mumbling, and thou knowest all the murmuring, and that has taken place in their hearts, so that even sometimes they did say, oh, let us go back again. Oh, look upon thy people, Lord, and thou knowest that there remaineth in them nothing good in themselves, but could it please thee to lead them in thy way? Oh, that thou wouldst give them to behold thy blessings, and give them a little of that edification that we have read about. And when thou didst give rest in the churches, and then those churches also were edified. And then there was a walking in the fear of the Lord, and then there was a walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and then there was a multiplication of the churches. And then it was not only in an outward way, but thou didst give it also in an inward way. And when thou didst establish the churches throughout the Gentile world, O Lord, we beseech thee, and thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And wilt thou give it also in the midst of us? And wilt thou be with all the needy in the midst of the congregation? They were laid before thee in this morning hour. Oh, we lay them before thee once again in this afternoon hour, that thou wouldst not forget them, and that they might feel also something, a little something of thy nearness, thy presence, or a little of thy help, that they may be given to know that the Lord and the God of heaven and earth does live. And that their hearts also may be drawn to thee, and to seek thee for the need of the soul. For thou knowest the hidden crosses, and where they are that suffer them. Oh, that thou mayest be near, and give instruction as thou alone art able to do. Wilt thou be with all thy truly sent servants, the students, and all that work also upon the mission field, thy servant there. O Lord, we ask a help from above and the increase of the churches, and that there may be yet a multitude that must be brought in our days, that the devices and errors of the prince of darkness may be put to shame, and that thou wouldst glorify thy own work in the heart of sinners. Help us too, Lord. Grant us strength to do the labors of our hands each day. Oh, if it could please thee, to take away all that does hinder. And also now in this afternoon, oh, that thou may grant us a little of the unction of thy Holy Spirit, that what is necessary to speak in an edifying way, that it may be for conversion of sinners, for the edification of thy church. Give the children and the young people also an ear to hear, and that they might love and serve thee in the days of their youth. Help them at school in the days that are still left, and the teachers in all the heat. Wilt thou supply for them and bring them to the end? O Lord, help us. Be amongst us. And be our teacher, our king, our high priest, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter number 207, stanzas 1 and 3. God is known among His people. Every mouth His praises fill. From of old He hath established His abode on Zion's hill. There He broke the sword and arrow, bade the noise of war be still. 207, stanzas 1 and 3. Beloved congregation, Jeremiah did admonish Jerusalem to repentance. And what was their answer? We read that they said, there is no hope. There is no hope. For we have loved idols, and after them, we will go. So, Jeremiah, you do not have to speak to us anymore. You do not have to waste your words upon us because we have chosen the way that we are going to go and we are not going to leave it. That is now man by nature. That is man as he has been born. We all have ears, but we do not have ears to hear the callings of the Lord. Why not? Because we have no heart to receive it. Because that heart is corrupt. Because that will is corrupt. Because the very disposition with which we are born into this world is corrupt. Do you believe this? We believe that of the world. Do we believe this also of ourselves? The rich young ruler, we read, was sad. Why was he sad? He was not sad because of sin. He was sad, young people, because he had to leave sin. He was sad because he had to forsake sin. At the same time, he considered himself to be a godly person, a righteous person, a religious person, and so he was. Many things we read that he has kept from his youth up, but he did not see his heart. He did not see what lived in his heart. He did not see what his own sin is. What was the hope for that man? Was there any hope to be found in that man? Oh, there was only hope for that man. And for you and I, there is only hope in a one-sided work of God. That the Lord himself would show to us what our heart is. There is hope in election. There is hope in the redeeming work of God, not in our own self. Do you ever feel that? We want to consider that with the Lord's help in this afternoon. From the words of our text, from the portion that was read to you, Acts 9, and thereof, the first part of the 15th verse, Acts 9, verse 15, the first part. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. So far, the words of our text in three thoughts. We want to consider the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. First, a persecuting Pharisee. Second, a praying blind man. And third, a baptized apostle. Thus, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. First, a persecuting Pharisee. Second, a praying blind man. And third, a baptized apostle. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. What does that mean, vessel? That is not the same, children, as we think about a vessel. Sometimes we think about a boat as a vessel, or maybe a kind of a pot is a vessel, but that is actually not the meaning of the word in the original language. You can think instead about the kitchen. If you go into the kitchen, then your mother has instruments in the kitchen. A knife, a fork, an instrument. That is the meaning of the word vessel here. An instrument, sometimes used also about persons who are used because of their capabilities, for example, as an instrument. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. A chosen vessel. What does that mean? So the word choosing, that means to pick out. To choose, that is an act of the free will of God. That is, that he has chosen, that he has picked out those persons to whom that he will give his blessings. A chosen vessel, a chosen instrument. That is an expression of the sovereignty of the Lord. That the Lord does just what he pleases, and that there is no one that can say unto the Lord, what doest thou? The Lord is so free. If our will would only be subject to his will, then we would always be glad, because his will is always good. But our will is most of the time not subject and in agreement with the will of the Lord. No, we want to be God ourselves, and we want everything to go in our own way. Do you want to be saved? Say yes. The rich young ruler also thought that he wanted to be saved. Then he has asked the Lord what he should do yet. Did he really want to be saved? Or do we really want to be saved? He was mistaken. He wanted to receive the blessing in the end. But he did not want to forsake heart sin. Oh, he did not see this. If the Lord's will now, if the Lord's will ever win over our own will, that is now the only way that a man can be saved. That is, with all his religion. We see that in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. What do we read? And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. That was the very breath. That was the very life. That what was living in the heart of this Saul of Tarsus. All the while that he thought that he served the Lord. Truly. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, the time is coming that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. That is now what Saul truly thought. That he did God service when he was in the court. Then he said later on, when he was looking back, he said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience until this day. And that was true. And that was so of him, he says, when I look back over my life, and he knows and he has spoken about what he has done in his life. Thus, that was no lie. He says that I have also persecuted that church of God conscientiously, sincerely, before Agrippa. Then the Apostle Paul said, I verily thought with myself, I truly thought with myself that I had to do things contrary against this name of Jesus. That is what I thought. What did he say? And I was sincere in that. But he says, I was sincerely wrong. That is something. Because we do not do that so easy, do we, children? Parents, we do not do that so easy to say, I was wrong. How did Saul come to that? He came to that by the work of the Spirit of the Lord. That is what a man needs. Was it then sinful of the Apostle Paul to persecute that church? To kill God's children? You say, sure. That was sinful. But you say he did it in good conscience. That is right. How is that possible? Well, that is possible when his conscience erred. Then his reasonings about God's children and who was God's children and what was the true doctrine, when those reasonings, they were not right. There were prejudices in him. Where did they come from? They came from his youth. They came from his upbringing. All our prejudices, they come on all sides. And thus they made him to err, he said, Saul. Who was Saul? Saul was a Pharisee. Oh, Saul says, I was a Pharisee. No, Saul says even more than this. He says, I also am the son of a Pharisee. So what does he say? Not only am I a Pharisee, but I am a Pharisee son. He says, I am, as it were, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He says, I was zealous. I was zealous for the name of the Lord. That is more than many of the Pharisees could rightly say, because they could not speak as Paul, the Apostle Paul, who were not as conscientious also as the Apostle Paul. Thus he was a Pharisee. And what was the religion of the Pharisees? What was the doctrine of the Pharisees? What did the Lord Jesus condemn the Pharisees for? Well, the Pharisees held very, very strictly, we can read, to the letter of the law of Moses. But they had no regard to the spirit of it. They had no regard to the meaning of that law. Thus, the Pharisees were concerned with the external form of that law, and they had no genuine piety, the Lord Jesus says, in your hearts. Woe unto you, he said, Pharisees and scribes. Why? Because ye appear outwardly unto men to be righteous, but in your heart, that is where the Lord looks, right, boys and girls? In the heart. He said, in the heart, you are full of hypocrisy. In the heart, you are full of iniquity. Oh, that is the most that a man can do with all our religion in this world. The most we can do with it all is to become a Pharisee. The most that we can do is take up the form of religion. That is, the things that we see and do, and the things that we can be seen doing. Think about the golden calf, the children of Israel. That was not that they might go to serve other gods, actually, but something visible. Something tangible, something they could touch as a representation of him, that is that carnal heart of man, and that is so often taking the place of the things which are essential, the inward, the necessary things. Humanly speaking, Phariseeism is as far and as religious as we can get, with out through conversion. That is what now lives in our hearts by nature. And that is what the religion of God's people, the Lord had given them that religion. The Lord had given them the outward things. He had given them the ceremonial law. He had given to them all the sacrifices and the priesthood and so on. And what did they do with it all? They left the meaning and they clave to the form. So that in the end, it was form without substance. What is that but idolatry? The Lord Jesus admonished the Jews about this. And when the Jews were admonished by Christ, what did they do to him? They slew him. They crucified him. And now Saul, he would also like to slay all his followers, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Was that just in Jerusalem? No. He will go far beyond Jerusalem. He will go all the way to Syria. He will go unto Damascus. There is also a church coming about. There is also a following of the Lord Jesus. And he obtains letters from the high priest, that he may bring them back to Jerusalem again, that he may imprison them, that they may be put to death. That is now the will of Saul. That is the will of Saul in all the sincerity of his heart. Oh, he wanted to take care that the religion of his fathers was not lost. He was very zealous about this. He was very concerned about this, that name of the Lord. Oh, and that seemed so good, didn't it? Then it can sound, young people, sometimes like something that is so sound, like that is something that is so right and something that is so biblical. But if the Lord had now left him to continue in his, what shall we call it, his religiosity, in his own religion, where would he have ended? You say, there, in that religion, he would have died. And in such a religion, he would have perished. And now that is why we say, that the salvation of the church that depends on what? It depends not on man. It depends on the Lord. It depends on the Lord coming from his side. Because with all the religion of a man, religion cannot change the heart of a man. Then we are dependent also in religion that the Lord stop us in our way. Our religious way. You see that in their second thought, a praying blind man. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What is it? It is the moment of the Lord's good pleasure. In the life of his chosen vessel, he was chosen in eternity already. And now comes the moment. Now comes the time. There is a moment. There is a moment in the life of every chosen vessel of the Lord. Then the Lord is watching that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. From the time that they are conceived and born, He brings them forth. And they are living out in this world. And there comes a time, there comes a moment that every one of them is going to be stopped upon whatever way that it is that the Lord has permitted them to travel from the time of their birth. Thus we have the time that the Lord comes in the life of Saul of Tarsus. And He says, thus far and no further. Did that ever happen in our life? Not every one of God's children can tell the moment this happened in their life. Because not every one of God's children is persecuting the church of God outwardly as Saul was doing. Thus, it can be that a person does not even know that moment. That moment that is hidden. It can be that that is taking place now in a way that is actually so quiet. And yet, the same conversion is happening in every one of that true people of the Lord. We want to see that for a few moments. What do we read here? We read in the first place that there is light. That there is light from heaven. That is, congregation, always the way it is. Light from heaven. And that light from heaven did make Saul to feel that he stood in the presence of God. Then in that moment, this man, who has been for so many years involved in the church, for the first time in his life, he was given a solemn impression that the Lord lives. Here is a man, a Pharisee. Remember that those Pharisees, boys and girls, we speak in a negative way about the Pharisees, but that was not the same in those days. Oh, those Pharisees, they were religious men. They were the leaders of the church. They were the ones who were respected by everyone that was around them within that church. And now this man, he has to do for the first time in his life with God. Oh, congregation, do we know what that is? Because that can happen in our closet. It can happen when we are sitting here in the church of God. And then for the first time in our life, the Lord appears. No, then we do not see Him, young people. And yet He appears. Or He appears to our soul. Then we feel something of the fact that we are living in that holy presence of the majesty of God. Oh, what is true religion? That does not consist merely in doing things. No, that consists in a relation between God and the soul of a man. Oh, what is that relation? Have we ever felt that we have stood in the presence of the Most High God? Saul falls to the earth when this happens. That is always so. No, we do not say literally. But the Lord, He gives a man to feel something. When He appears to him in His majesty, and that is that he is not able to stand. Not able to stand before a holy and a righteous God. Oh, that is not so when we come and go from the house of God each Sabbath, is it? No, then that is not so. Because our outward religion does not give this to us. No, that is the visit from on high, wherein the Lord is coming and showing himself and making a man to feel that he is not able to stand before him. And that was a man who had done many good works. That was a man who had done many religious deeds. That was a man who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Oh, then that man was not able to stand with all his religion before that holy and a righteous God. Light from heaven and a voice. A voice, we read, from heaven that is always the same. Say, do we hear it with our ears? Almost. No, that is not so. We do not hear it with our ears, children. Yes, we hear the outward word with our ears. But we hear that word in our heart. A voice from heaven. The Bible, what is the Bible to us? What is the Bible to you? Has that ever become more than just a book? A book that was written by man? Do we treat that holy Bible, boys and girls, just like we treat all the books that are written by people in this world? Or did there ever come a time when the Lord's word, when one particular word, that it come as an arrow in your heart, so that you felt something, that is the power of that word, that it was not the word of Luke, that it was not the word of Moses, that it was not the word of Jeremiah, no, but that it was the word of God. That God was speaking. Or was your soul ever awakened under that word? So that you have never heard that word in that same way as you heard in that moment. That is what happened. That is what happened to Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus. Light from heaven and a voice from heaven. And that is what needs to happen to every single one of us. And what did the Lord say unto Saul? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What kind of a word is that? That was a word of rebuke. A word of rebuke. That is, congregation, always the way that it is. Because in that the Lord is exposing to us what our sin is. No, maybe the Lord did not say the same words unto the soul of this one or that one. But do you know what the Lord did with that word? He made them to feel their guilt. He made them to feel and to know what their sin is. Sometimes you hear young people, you hear about a conversion, about a person who was walking in the midst of this world, and how that the Lord stops such a person. But now you say, how does the Lord convert a person who is going to church every Sunday? How does the Lord convert a religious person? A person who walks every day according outwardly to the things of the Holy Scriptures. That is what we have here. In Saul of Tarsus. And now the Lord, he does the same to such a person as he does to anyone that he converts in this whole world. Do you know what the Lord said to Saul? He said, your whole life is wickedness. Your whole life. His was a religious life. Another man's is a life in this world. You say, young people, then it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Oh, there are many things. There are many things that Saul did not have to mourn for in his life later. Oh, it makes a great difference. We only say this, the heart is the same. And the conversion has to be the same. A man needs to be born again. Oh, then the Lord, he says to such a religious person, he says, your whole religion, that is nothing. Then the Lord shows to us that we are nothing but a Pharisee. That everything that we do, and when we bow our knees, and when we come to church, and when we sing, and when we, what is it? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Then the Lord said, is it against me? All that you think is good, all that you think is right, all that you think is religion, that is what needs to happen in our life. Lord, who art thou, says Saul. Is that not something? Who art thou, Saul? Saul, a man who was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel? Saul, a man who has likely also instructed other persons in the things of religion, and who has spoken about God and who that God is? And now the Lord comes. And now Saul says, who art thou, O Lord? Do you see what happens in true conversion? Then a man becomes ignorant. With all that he knew, with all that he has ever learned in his life, with all his religion, with all his knowledge of the truth, then you know what he realizes? He does not know the Lord. He does not know the Lord. No, the Lord is a stranger to him. Then he becomes like Saul. Outwardly, Saul was children, what? He was blind. Could not see anymore. And that is now what happens. If the Lord converts a person, oh, before he saw so many things. Oh, and he thought he saw truth. But now he becomes blind. That is what the Lord had said. For judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Because now when the Lord is giving light, that is when you hear that people, just listen, then they will begin to say, it is so dark. It is so dark. Why? Was it not dark before? Congregation, they could not see it. And they could not see that darkness. But the Lord has now opened their eyes. That is a mystery, isn't it? The Lord now opens their eyes. And now they see How dark that it is. Do you know where the Lord brings his people? That they do not know it anymore. That they do not know anything anymore. Oh, and then they begin to cry. They begin to cry after that knowledge that they have never cried out for in their life. Oh, before it was good enough, we come and we go from the place of the holy. Oh, then we give sacrifice and we do all those things, those outward things to the letter of the law. Yes, but we did not know him. And now to understand, to see, to feel, to grieve that I miss him. And then, oh Lord, who art thou? So they begin to go as a blind man, a praying blind man unto the Lord. Who art thou, Lord? Let us sing. 102, 2, 3, and 4. Heavy is my tribulation, sore my punishment has been, broken by thy indignation, I am troubled by my sin. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 102. thou, Lord, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Jesus, how astonished we read that Saul becomes. Well, he was not a stranger to the name of Jesus. As a man, he was not a stranger to the name of Jesus in his humiliation. But now Jesus appears to him in his glory. He appears to him in his majesty. How fearful. What will come in the end of this world, we read. Upon those who do not love the Lord Jesus, then we read that they will call to the mountains to fall on them and the hills to cover them, to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Will we do that too? Did Saul do that? We do not read that, do we? No, we read he begins to ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? As majestic as Christ appeared unto Saul, as awful as the sin of Saul was in persecuting the church and Christ in that church, as guilty as Saul felt himself to be, yet the Lord did not appear in his harshness unto Saul. Even under the most distressing convictions of sin, what is the Lord doing? He is drawing a person unto himself. Judas missed that. Why? Satan entered into him. And what is the proper work of the devil? That is to drive a man to despair. But that is not the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Even when he is coming with those convictions, and when those convictions to some of that people can be so hard, and yet there is something drawing in it. You say, how is that possible? It is because the Lord has a purpose. The Lord does not have a purpose to destroy that people. That is what is going to come in the end of this world. But when the Lord is now appearing in the time, when he is chastising, when he is rebuking for sin, oh, there are some, they have said to me, I'm so afraid of that. I'm so afraid if the Lord would come and convict of sin. You do not need to be afraid. As bitter as sin becomes in the life of such a person, there is a desire never to trade even those moments with all the pleasures that you can receive in this world. Oh, did the Lord appear in these moments unto Saul to deliver him from his wretchedness? Oh, Saul did not perceive this. No, the Lord did not appear unto him in these moments as a savior. He did not reveal himself as the Messiah unto him. No, this was the moment that he came to rebuke him for his sin. And yet, even then, oh, there is felt something. No, you cannot ask the people to explain this. But it is lying in it. It is lying in it. Oh, that is the rebuke of a father. It is not the rebuke of a despot. It is not the rebuke of one who comes to slay. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That is such a remarkable thing. In one moment, we see that Saul is brought over unto the will of the Lord, to the side of the Lord. Do you know what David said? He says, thou wilt have a willing people in the day of thy power. That is what happens. Always. Even to the greatest persecutor of the church of God. Oh, Saul is so ready. One moment when the Lord comes, then his whole heart and his whole soul that is so ready, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Do you see what we need? You say, I cannot change my heart. I have a heart that goes out after this world, that loves this world, that is carnal, that seeks after the idols, that is glad with all my outward religion. I am unconverted. Do you see what we need? Or what is the next thing? The next thing that we read, the Lord says of this man, behold, he prayeth. That is the Lord's testimony unto Ananias. Where was he praying? Not like before. Then he was on the street corner where everyone could see him. But no one could see him now, because now he was on his knees. Now he was laying prostrate before the Lord in his inner chamber, hidden from all the eyes of the world. A heart that was full of sorrow. And there the Lord saw him. Does the Lord see that too here? Children, young people, sometimes weeping, inner chamber, not because you want to continue in your sin, but because you desire to be delivered from that sin. Or weeping, saying, Lord, who art thou? Wilt thou teach me? Wilt thou instruct me? Blind men praying. That is what the Lord is able to make out of a persecuting Pharisee. Is that not powerful? We cannot do that. And finally, a baptized apostle, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Ananias, sent by the Lord. You know the history. Ananias, he can hardly believe it. That such a man would be converted, that was just the greatest enemy of the Lord, the greatest enemy of the people of the Lord, done so much, he says, evil unto thy saints at Jerusalem. Can it be? Children, say, Lord must have made a mistake. No, Ananias, I did not make a mistake. Go thy way. You think Ananias is a man, but I am a wonder-doing God. And you think that there is a heart that is too hard for me to break? Do you think that there is a will, a stubborn will, that is too difficult for me to make new? No, Ananias, go thy way. And you do not need to be afraid of this man anymore, because the lion is made into a lamb. You do not need to be afraid of this man anymore. Do you know why, Ananias? Because he is now a praying man. He is no longer a persecuting man. No, he is now a praying man. Do you need to be afraid of a man who prays? No, Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. A chosen vessel, a chosen instrument, I will use him. And he is going to bear my name. Is that not a wonder? That the Lord is going to give such a man the task of bearing his name. That is not up to man to say, I am going to bear the name of Christ. That I am going to preach the name of Christ to other men, to the Gentiles, to the children of Israel. No. Christ says, I choose who will bear my name. That is his prerogative. Sometimes there is a desire. And the Lord will convert us. Then there can be a burning desire that we may bear his name. Or that we also may become a minister. Or then we have a desire to proclaim that name. Because we want to glorify him. And we want everyone to glorify him. And then the Lord says, no. No. He says, I choose. And another, he is so timid. And he is so backward to that work. And he can hardly find a desire under all the fear that lives within him. And then the Lord says, go to him. Moses, he was ready at 40. He was not ready at 80 anymore. But then the Lord said, you have to go. And Jeremiah, he said, I am a child, I cannot speak. And what did the Lord say? He says, say not, I am a child. No. Because thou shalt go, and thou shalt go to all that I will send thee. And the word that I give unto thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with thee to deliver thee. Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel, a chosen instrument unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. What is necessary for baptism? Now we speak here not about infant baptism, but we speak here about adult baptism. What is necessary for the administration of adult baptism? Well, then we need first to experience the substance of baptism, because the form, that has to serve the organism. So first the substance and then the outward baptism. What does that mean? We read here, he arose and was baptized. That means that Saul has experienced more than conviction of sin. This praying blind man, when he says, O Lord, who art thou? He has received an answer. Did you ever receive an answer? Praying blind people. Are there those in our midst? Praying blind people. Have you also received an answer? Lord, who art thou? Oh, Saul did not know who the Lord was. He did not know who that Savior was. He did not know who the Redeemer was. He knew only the law of Moses. But the Lord has given him sight. Thus he has not appeared to him only in the way of rebuke, but he has appeared to him also in the way of deliverance. After 3 days only of darkness, oh, there will be people. They are in darkness sometimes for many years. For many years. Oh, they are calling as that blind man. Oh, there is jealousy in their heart when they read this. 3 days that man was blind only. And then the Lord delivered him. Oh, then the Lord opened unto him what he had never seen before in his whole life. Do you know what he never saw before? Grace. Free, sovereign grace. Do you know what he always taught? The law of Moses. Do this, and thou shalt live. Then the Lord came. Oh, he says, thou persecutest me. Lord, who art thou? Saul, I am a gracious God. I am ready to forgive. The chiefest of the sinners, that is who I am. That is now what Saul had to learn. Or we can read what he himself writes about Jesus. Well, just read the book of Romans. Then you see how much doctrine that was taught unto Saul by the Lord. Not all, perhaps, in those 3 days. But that substance that was given in those days. How a man could be justified in Jesus when he could not be justified by that law of Moses. That is now the instruction that was so necessary for the Apostle Paul. In order for him to be used as an instrument for that true church of God. He needed to know what grace was. He needed to experience what grace was in his own heart. Oh, congregation, Saul was an educated man. He was an educated man. Do you know where he came from? Tarsus. And Tarsus was a city that was a city even more than Athens, that was a city of science. So he was educated already when he was young. And then later on, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. But all that learning that he had, the learning of the world he had, and he had all the learning of the church. And you know what that could not give him? A new heart. A new heart. All that learning. And you know what it was used for? To persecute the church of God. And to persecute Christ himself, he said. But then the Lord came. And then the Lord gave him a new heart. And he changed his will. And what now happened to all that learning? Oh, the Lord took that learning. Paul, the Apostle Paul. Oh, you go, children. In this afternoon, when you go home, you take your Bible and you go through the Bible and you find for mother and father all the books of the Bible that were written by the Apostle Paul. You find out how many that there are. Oh, the Lord has used that wisdom. All the learning. Oh, it cannot give him conversion, but if the Lord, he will convert such a man. Oh, then all that learning, that was all for the use of the church of God. Oh, congregation, a persecuting Pharisee. He became a praying blind man. And that praying blind man, he became a baptized apostle. That is what the Lord can do. That is what the Lord can do. Is that encouraging? Is that encouraging? Because you cannot do it. Now you know where you can go. Now you can go on your knees to that same God, to that same Savior, to that same Spirit, and say unto him, oh, wilt thou give it also unto me for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but it is all thy work. What thou didst long ago and what thou doest always in the life of thy people. Oh, give us also to know the way, to walk in that way. Oh, lead us in it, Lord. Humble us, glorify thy own name. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive all that was sinful, all that was amiss. Be with us in the week to come. Remember her that must receive surgery. Lord, strengthen, she is old. But wilt thou be on her right and on her left hand, and wilt thou bless the means to her recovery, and oh, visit her. Also with a blessing for her own heart, help the curatorium. Lord, thou knowest all that must be done. Help the students, help the instructors, give us wisdom in all of these things. And wilt thou give that we may be gladdened with thy deeds for Jesus' sake. Amen. 425, the third stanza. Seek ye Jehovah and his power. Seek ye his presence every hour. His works so marvelous and great, remember still and meditate upon the wonders of his hands, the judgments which his mouth commands. The third stanza of Psalter 425.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.